I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hey, everyone. We are happy to have you joining us. This is the Legacies After Show. Thank you so much for tuning in and bearing with us. Guys, I'm your host, Haley Graves, and joining me like every week is the lovely Miss Shiksha Mattani. Shiksha, say hello.
What's up, guys? Welcome.
Yes, everyone, we are so excited to get into this episode because who knew that we were about to go on like a four-week break? We sure didn't, so that means we have a lot to get into tonight with this episode. Guys, we're going to kick things off by starting to talk about the prison world and what took place there. Then we're going to talk about how they got from the prison world to the regular world, as well as what was going on in the regular world throughout all of this. And then we're going to wrap things up to talk about the prophecy. We're going to do the merge as always. So make sure you have your best duo and your worst duo ready for when we get there, because you know that we love your input. Then Shiksha has some news and gossip for us as always, because she's so good with the news and gossip, y'all. She finds it all and it amazes me every week. And then lastly, predictions. Like I said, 4 weeks without us, about three-ish, but regardless, we got a lot to talk about. Let's jump to it. Shiksha, tell me your overall thoughts.
You know, this wasn't my favorite episode. I say that, but I also love this show so much that every episode is great. So it just wasn't my top five, yeah, I would say. Just because I wanted more of Kai. There just wasn't enough of
this
Kai.
This girl loves Kai.
Yeah. And we only got him for two episodes. So why the hell didn't we get more of him, you know? But I did love the whole Landon angle where he was flying. That was a jaw-dropping moment.
My jaw was dropped for a solid 2 minutes. Yeah.
Me too. So it was a good episode. It just wasn't the best, I guess.
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. I, on the other hand, really did enjoy this episode. I liked the way they continued to develop several of the characters. I like how they kind of left us hanging with characters like Sebastian. We don't know where he currently stands. We got to see our characters do new things, Landon flying, Lizzie and Hope, Astro projecting. So a lot happened and a lot to digest. So with that, let's kick things off with the prison world. That's where we picked up from last week's episode. We know that Alaric was running from his three past students, Wendy, Diego, and Jade, in which he sets up traps in the school to which he basically punks almost Diego and Wendy. He outsmarts them. And this, in the very beginning, is when we see Dark Josie, because Dark Josie brings Jade's humanity back. Mm-hmm. What did you think of in that moment that she had the ability to do that?
To bring her humanity back?
Yeah.
I didn't expect it at all, because I don't think we've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I wasn't fully surprised because with the dark magic, they've kind of shown us that you're able to do a lot more.
Yep.
But it was a cool thing. And I liked that they showed her getting her humanity back because, you know, she could be a good character.
Yeah.
You know, and considering the fact that there's a possible romance.
That's predictions. She's trying to get into predictions here. Stay tuned.
Okay, fine. Stay tuned. Because they were already shipping names over here. Just trying to say that.
Well, so with that, yes, everyone, I like Jade as well. I hope that she sticks around. But I also appreciated the fact that they did give those quick flashbacks for especially the viewer that maybe was just, you know, watching this episode for the first time ever, that they're able to kind of see what was taking place there. One of the other things I found interesting with Josie was the fact that, and it kind of tied this in for me, that I never thought of when vampires turn their humanity off, I never viewed it as being a negative thing. Well, I mean, obviously it's negative. Not that it's a negative thing, that it's darker.
What do you mean?
So, like, because, so this is where I'm going with this. So I think that since Josie was still a siphon, that she was literally siphoning the darkness out of people. So, like, so whereas Jade turning off her humanity, like, all that was there was basically darkness. Mm-hmm. When she touched her, that's how the humanity got turned back on.
By
at least that's my theory. Yes.
Okay.
And so, because I also think the same thing as going to jump around here a little bit to Lizzie. So they end up, Josie and Alaric, we'll come back to Josie, but Josie and Alaric end up going and searching for Lizzie. Josie's able to sense her sister. They find her and they rush her to this, like,
hospital.
In Mystic Falls. And there, they, like, Josie's, like, basically says, hey, I got this, essentially. Uh-huh. And she's able to touch Lizzie and retract what was in her.
So that's what I didn't get. That this is dark Josie, but yeah. She's still helping her sister. She's still helping all of them get back to the real world. She's still doing good deeds, almost.
I think that's their way of telling us that deep down, Josie is good, but she has this just huge darkness in her. And maybe it could even potentially come about to be a Jekyll and Hyde situation, because just like at the very end of the episode, we see that the dark Josie is still with her. So I hope maybe. It doesn't escalate to being a Jekyll and Hyde where one kind of takes over from the other. But I think it would be really interesting if Josie's power ends up being that she can tap into this dark self and really use it ultimately for good. Because think about it. Every time she's used dark magic, it's been for good reasons. There's good intentions behind it. So that's a different perspective. What are people in the chat saying?
No, they actually like what you're saying. They're saying Erica said it's an interesting theory. Carlos Hernandez said, well, she has dark magic in her. So yeah, they're agreeing with you. But overall, it's interesting what you say, just because in the past with this world, we've seen that dark magic equals dark magic, which equals a bad person.
Yeah, or darkness and horrible doom, impending doom. Yeah.
So this is a new thing, I think. Yep. And correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but for me, it's the first time we're seeing dark magic being used for the better. And I hope you're right. I hope
I kind of feel like there was a couple instances where Bonnie Bennett and Vampire Diaries used dark magic with good intentions behind her, which would then still make sense why Josie has the ability to do it as well.
Yeah.
But I think ultimately what this comes down to is the fact that Alaric has had this fear of the dark side of the supernatural, and now that his own daughter has her dark side of her very own, I think that lurking storyline is really just going to be about their relationship and their father-daughter bond and how they're going to be able to grow because of it.
Yeah, he needs to grow because he sent his students to the world, to the prison world, and we already saw today that he was feeling bad about it and he wanted to bring them back and give himself up instead, but... So that's a step forward in the right direction.
I agree. I definitely thought that it was, as they say, a come to Jesus moment with Alaric when he openly was like, we're not leaving anyone behind. And he willingly wanted to bring these students back because, I mean, they have an age. They can still go right back to the school and he can really better them from what they were. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was really big of him to be willing to bring them back.
Yeah. No, I agree. And honestly, I think we need to be done with the prison world now, too. Because if we left them behind, then it's like, that's still a lingering thing that we have there.
Well, so we know that the two that got left behind were Sebastian and Diego, right? Mm-hmm. Diego didn't come through.
No, he didn't.
Which confused me why, like, I get the whole moment of, it was a great moment. It really was. You know, Sebastian sacrificing himself for Alaric being the bigger person. I wrote down his line because I really loved it. Where did he say it? Okay, I don't know where I wrote it down at. But I really liked the line that he said whenever he was doing this for Elizabeth and doing it for Alaric. And it was about, like, second chances, you know? Mm-hmm. And I
think
that
was... From a better man? Is that what you're talking
about? No, that was what he told Josie. He said, some people don't know what to do with a second chance.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And I thought that it was very, very satirical because he was telling him this, you know, in regards to all he wanted was a second chance and coming to the Salvador School originally. And Alaric didn't give him that. But anyways, I went on a rant about Sebastian there. But I thought it was interesting that they didn't choose, like, easily. I feel like they could have picked up Diego's hand. He's unconscious and just touched Josie. And therefore, he's the anchor.
Yeah, that's what I didn't get. Because, first of all, when they decided Alaric would be the anchor, why is it that they weren't making Sebastian the anchor instead? Because he was getting left behind.
Yeah, we thought he was unconscious.
And, so, like, why wouldn't they do that? But then, okay, Sebastian comes back. We want him to go back. So then, you're right. Why not make Diego the anchor? And why is it that two people were left behind when it should have only been one?
Agreed.
So those were things that didn't make sense to me. And I hope it means that we will get them out because I hope they didn't die with the prison world. I guess we'll find out. Well, if Diego died with the prison world, that'll
it's
be
whatever.
Fine.
Yeah, it's whatever.
I'd be
bye bye.
Yeah, okay.
But so that's what's happening in the prison world. Meanwhile, on the flip side, we see that, well, we saw at the end of the last episode that Kai came through Malivor. He saw the necromancer. And now Kai is trying to use to his advantage the fact that the Malivor pit has erased his memory.
Yeah.
But kudos to Hope and Josie, Dark Josie specifically, for knowing that something was missing, that she couldn't pin why she would have brought this dark magic upon herself. And that's another thing that I found really cool and interesting about the Dark Josie is that, like, again, I like that she's still herself. Like, she still has her own conscious thoughts. It's not like she's this evil version of herself. She's just a darker version of herself. And I think that that's a really fine line that they're walking, but I'm glad that they're walking it as opposed to just doing kind of the obvious, or I feel like what a lot of other shows have done and just made her evil.
Yeah.
She's not evil. She's dark. And there's a big difference. But
I love how you said that. It's really true. Yeah.
But so she knows that she has to figure this out. And while doing so, we see Hope and Landon trying to also figure out what's going on with this whole arrow situation, the prophecy. Hope has a dream with little girls chanting the prophecy at her. And it's a situation where she can't save Landon, which is ultimately her biggest fear, and this whole issue that they're butting heads because she wants to protect him, he wants to protect himself. And it's just this kind of annoying, to be honest, back and forth between them. But that's their storyline right now, so we're riding with it. And
well, okay, I want to say that.
Yeah, go for it.
I actually like the way that they handled the hand-in situation this week.
I will say they definitely grew on me. Definitely.
A little bit. For me too. Yeah. But just a little, guys. I'm still not fully there.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just because now Landon is his own person and he's standing up for himself finally. He's not just like this wimpy dog following Hope around, you know, and Hope is realizing that he can hold his own. So in that moment when he flew, it was just like that look they gave each other. It was an understanding that, hey, we're equals.
Yes.
We're both heroes. And that for me is what kind of convinced me a little bit.
Okay, I'm glad you brought this up because I'm right there with you on that moment.
Yeah.
I love, believe me, I am all about girl power and being a freaking badass and holding your own, and that's all Hope has done. But the fact that now Landon just doesn't look so weak, he looks like he can better Hope, that's, I think, where my issue has been, was it just always felt like Hope was having to do so much, and she was just kind of bringing him along. But now they're at almost an even playing field.
Almost.
I won't say that they're quite there yet, because technically we don't really know what has caused Landon to last week levitate and this week ultimately fly.
We're still
figuring
it
don't
out.
Know why.
Yeah.
But the fact he's capable of it intrigues me for where they can really go and grow to be a power couple.
Yeah, it gives me hope for the relationship because
never gets old.
Oh, my God. So, just because I have just not been convinced all this while, and I know that's where the show is headed with that relationship, at least for now. So it's like, okay, finally, we're good.
I can accept it. Y'all are telling the story, which is all I've asked from the beginning.
Yeah.
I will say, though, because this whole prophecy is so vague. We don't know who is the hero. We don't know what hero falls, what hero rises. But I do remember that they dropped a little couple of breadcrumbs. And normally my gut instinct on this is interesting, is that they said that when he hovered, that that might have been the moment that it was the hero rises, which was last week.
No, I think
it was this
week.
Because see,
Dorian was the old hero.
But see, but what did Dorian ever do?
He's not a hero.
He is not a hero. Well, I mean, I guess technically in that moment when he took the arrow.
Yeah, he was a hero.
Skirt, for those of you listening to us, we're going to back it up and fill in the blanks here. So, yes, Dorian ends up being put under a spell by Kai because Kai has come to the school pretending to be this person named Joshua who doesn't exist. And basically, he's just taking advantage of the Malivor situation. And puts Dorian under this spell, and he basically has to take Landon to get shot by the golden arrow.
Yes.
And that's where they are, that's where we're referencing this moment, because they're in the forest, and Dorian, who still can think logically, although his body is forcing him to do one thing, he realizes, I just have to put him in front of the arrow, he doesn't have to get hit by it.
Yeah,
so
I
love that.
So then
he takes the hit himself.
Which is a hero move.
It is.
Honest.
That's what I'm saying. It's a hero move, but he's not the hero.
So we have a couple of theories here in the chat. We have Carlos Hernandez saying, I think emotions are part of his power source. And yes, Ivan Soto agrees. Yeah, Ivan Soto said Landon is a charmed one. Power comes from his emotions. So yeah, all that kind of makes sense.
Yep.
And then a lot of people are saying that Dorian is dead. Like, a lot of people are
saying
that.
No, they said in the end of the episode that Dorian was fine.
He's in a hospital.
He did say it in a weird tone. So, it was like a kind of like one of those like, yeah, he's fine, huh? Yeah. But he's really not. So, I think he's going to be fine. I think he'll be fine too.
But he did fall and Landon rose.
Yes.
So, boom.
I mean, I still don't think he's the hero. I think that's too obvious for us. But that's just me.
Okay.
Another hand in quote that I really liked and appreciated was this whole kind of season we've been leading up to this moment, and that Landon has been the hero using his brain. And that's what I've really respected him for, and I've liked that they've been developing that side of him.
Yeah.
And so in doing so, today Hope, she's really been struggling with not being the hero. She didn't know how to solve the situation. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know who to turn to. So instead, she kind of really leans on Landon a lot. And Landon tells her, do not astro project because we know the risks involved. And I think this has to be foreshadowing because they said it three times in this episode with not only just Hope, but then Lizzie does it in the end also, which we'll get to. But I feel like that has to be telling us something. Regardless, Hope still does it without telling Landon. And the biggest thing that I end up appreciating between the two of them is the line that said, if we take risks, we take them together. And I really, really liked that because it was showing me that they are starting to be on an even playing field. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what they do in the future.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Although the writers have continued to drive home for us that Hope will be the hero.
Yeah.
Because
she's the hero.
Yes. Because at the end, when we have Hope, and we know that Hope is the only one that can truly defeat Malivore. Mm-hmm. So at the end, when Hope and Landon were talking, and she feels so guilty that she basically made the decision because Kai presented this with her that she could either save the Saltzmans or save Landon. And she ended up not choosing Landon, which was kind of shocking, to be honest. And so she feels guilty. But Landon tells her the reason why you're the hero is because you make the hard decisions.
Right. And it was interesting to see her make such a hard decision today because she's always tried to protect Landon and chase after Landon. So for her to be the adult and do what was better for everybody and choose the more people versus the one.
Yep.
Right? That's like a big moral dilemma, but it was I think character growth for her.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Definitely agreed.
Sure.
So we ultimately see them kind of come through the Ascendant. We know that they all make it through. We see Jade back in the real world. So that's where we stand. Everyone made it through, except for what we know, Sebastian and Diego. Meanwhile, our little comic relief trio, we got to talk about them in the real world. So we have.
Are you talking about Kai or MG?
MG.
Okay.
MG. MG, Caleb, and our Teen Wolf fella. So they are all tasked with finding this. Basically, they're just on this task.
Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors. And today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to. And you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Yes, well, I'm getting there. So they're on this task, they're on this mission, and they have these tasks they have to find as they're going along. And they all are just kind of biting at each other's heads, not literally, but just getting after each other, and you can feel the tension. And I gotta say, guys, I called this from the beginning.
You did.
That they were kind of all fighting over Alyssa Chang. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's the only connection.
You did
all
call
of them
that.
Have.
You did. Yes. That was awesome.
And so they end up figuring out the little riddle they have, and they find this zombie, they kill it, and then MG decides to go look in this trailer mysteriously in the woods, and yes, Roth is in it. Sorry, spoiler alert, Roth is there, and they don't know why he's, like, binded by ropes, he has a bag over his head, and that's really all we get. Yeah. It's like we've been waiting for Raph for so long, and this is all we get.
That's the problem with Raph's character is that we just don't get enough of him. Yep. I have absolutely no idea what the show is doing with his character.
Agreed. And I will say this isn't entirely a prediction now that we have Raph back, but I was really starting to think as we're watching this episode, I leaned over to Shiksha and I said, hey, do you think Teen Wolf is going to take the place as being the werewolf character of the show because we haven't seen Raph and we have had no answers? I mean, we've researched Peyton Alex Smith. Like, we had seen nothing on what he's doing, where he's at. We knew that he was in Atlanta shooting, but anyways, yeah, I mean, he's here, so I guess we'll find out.
What do you think happened to him, though?
I mean, we're going to get to predictions, so.
Damn it, Haley. Okay.
All right, guys, so anyways.
Wait, but Kai?
Yes.
So what the hell with Kai, right? Because he was really funny for a quick minute with when nobody understood, knew who he was. And then we had people in the chat talking about it.
Yeah.
Saying Elizabeth Murray had said earlier that I thought Hope would expose Kai to the school.
Yes.
Which I thought was interesting. And I also thought that, honestly, that more people would know about him. And Tony Stark responded, I don't think the other students know who Kai is. And I get that.
But
then all the memories came back and I wanted some sort of a showdown with Kai and more of the people.
I was pretty content with the showdown it ended up being a fake showdown between Hope and Kai. Like, I was cool with it. I was like, oh, yeah, like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And then only to find out that Hope called Kai out, but he wasn't actually fighting. He was actually in cahoots with Alyssa Chang, who was trying to sever his tie to the prison world, ultimately killing everyone in the prison world. And then Kai would be able to be free, but Hope got to Alyssa before that, and we found the small slight of good in Alyssa Chang left.
Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that we saw that because when Hope's okay, that confused me. Hope told Alyssa that when you kill somebody, it never leaves you, and Alyssa understands that because she's killed so many people, but Hope's never killed anyone, or she'd be a vampire.
Fair.
So how is she saying that? That makes no sense. Right?
I mean, I guess we're still going to find out. Yeah. Like, there could have been a time.
No, because if she had killed somebody, she'd be a vampire.
No, that would be if she died. Her werewolf side is the side of werewolf. She killed somebody.
Oh, God, I'm mixing everything up.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, you're good.
Right.
You're good.
You're
we're
right.
On track.
Okay.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah, that is what you're... Oh, God, I just got so confused.
I just winked at you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're definitely going to see kind of where that goes and what she means by that. But the other thing that I just wanted to briefly touch on is Lizzie. She wasn't hugely in this episode, but I was happy with kind of where they left things off with Sebastian. That's the biggest cliffhanger I feel like we had this episode, in that Sebastian kind of found some semblance of redemption by anchoring himself to the prison world.
Yeah.
But right before the prison world starts to collapse, Lizzie astro projects into the prison world to talk to him, ends up telling him where the Malivore pit is, which we know that the prison world is a replica of their world, so he could easily get there and jump through. And I'm not going to lie, you guys, I definitely thought at the ending scene when we see Lizzie sitting in her room and the shadowy figure, I really wanted it to be Sebastian. I really did. I just,
yeah,
I genuinely like his character. I like him
on the show. Yeah.
Like, I think that there could be something positive there. And so hoping that that will continue. But again, we don't know. We don't know if he took it upon himself to go to Malivore or not.
It sounded like not, right?
So we literally do not know.
Yeah, I don't know. My thought is that he probably just didn't go save himself.
Yeah.
That he probably, somebody else is going to have to save him somehow.
But the prison world collapsed.
Yeah, but something's going to happen. They find ways. I don't know the answer.
I don't know. I think that if he... I think his vampirism kicked in, and I think in those final moments when you realize that, like, your immortality is about to be done and your life's going to be over, I think that fight or flight kicked in, and just knowing the kind of character they've made him out to be, I don't really see him bowing out that way. Although, I mean, they kind of had, like, a hero's ending for him, which I would be fine if that was the end of it. I just don't see it being then.
Yeah, me neither, honestly. When he said, I won't make it in time, he's a vampire.
Yeah.
He can run fast.
And because I want to say, when we first got introduced to Thomas Dougherty, that they said he was going to be a series regular. So you can't really kill him in the first season that he's in.
Yeah.
He's going to be back. Yeah, he's going to be back. Let us know in the chat.
Yeah, he's going to be back.
And with that, Shiksha has an awesome message for you guys.
Yes, guys, just wanted to quickly thank all of you for being here, chatting with us. I'm shouting you guys out. While you're watching, make sure to hit that like button and that subscribe button. And if you're on iTunes or Spotify, make sure to hit the 5 stars. You guys really make us the ESPN of TV talk, and we love you guys for it. So just support us in that way so that we can keep coming back.
Yes. Thanks, guys. We definitely do. In the spirit of Valentine's Day tomorrow, I just want to echo Shiksha because this is my favorite show. I love talking about this show. I love how involved you guys are in talking about it with us. So it's definitely, definitely appreciated. And we love you guys.
Yes.
All right. So I feel like that's everything, huh?
Well, is Kai officially dead?
Oh, my God.
So, no.
I asked you this, and you were like, Haley, his head is gone.
Yeah, okay, I know I said that. But then Gracian Ryan said, too bad the necromancer didn't keep Kai's body for later revival, or did he? No, he didn't. I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either.
But...
because the necromancer was pretty upset with him that the necromancer wants Josie, or wants Dark Josie, the Dark Witch he refers to her as. Mm. But technically, he never says Dark Josie, so light bulb. What if he means Dark Witch and Alyssa Chang?
Oh, that could happen, actually. You're right. But I'm just saying that the show does weird things.
It does, for sure.
We could see Kai again when the merge happens.
But we know in real world, Chris Wood just took a role somewhere else. Probably not. Sorry, Shiksha, there are bad news here. But okay, guys. So yes, we know that the necromancer, he's still lingering. Just don't, if you're listening, don't forget that he's still out and about doing necromancer things. The necromancer. Yes, he's
not
still
Mr.
there.
Not Mr. Necromancer. Yeah.
He's definitely there. Okay, guys. All right, next up, we're going to be moving on to our special segment, which is The Merge, nicknamed after what the season started off being about, which that the Saltzman twins were eventually going to have to merge because of the Gemini prophecy. Well, we decided to pick up on that, and we're going to do our best duo and our worst duo of the episode. Shiksha, do you have one in mind?
Okay. Worst would best.
Okay.
I loved the Hope and Kai angle.
Hope and Kai?
Yeah, Hope and Kai.
Elaborate.
I liked their on-screen time together.
Okay.
You know, it was good. I liked it. They were, because he was trying to be smart and she was trying to be smart, and it just worked for me. What was your best?
My best duo was Dark Josie and Alaric. I surprisingly thought that they worked really, really well together, and the fact that Alaric had to go out of his comfort zone, trust the dark magic side of his daughter to get them out and let down a lot of walls that he'd been building up. And so I think because seeing his daughter in that light is what ultimately helped him kind of move past this phase. And yeah, so they were my best duo.
CP Sloth is saying Jade and Josie, and I was going to say that next. I like Jade and Josie. Yeah. And the ship name, I think, is JC. I think that's what you guys decided, right? JC.
Ooh, interesting.
Because it's Jade.
Yeah.
Josie,
Jade C. Interesting.
Not Jade C, just JC.
What about Jossie?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Anyways.
JC. JC it is.
Your worst duo.
Okay, worst would have to be Diego and everybody. Does that count?
Yes, it technically does. My worst, honestly, is probably Kai and Dark Josie, because they just didn't work together whatsoever, and Dark Josie won.
Well,
because
Kai didn't get enough screen time this episode.
Okay, Shiksha. Okay, now let's move on, because Shiksha really likes talking about Kai.
I do, indeed.
Tell us your news and gossip.
Well, do you remember? Okay, guys, news and gossip starts off about Kai. So remember, I just wanted to share tonight for news and gossip some of the things that were said in interviews. So remember last week we talked about how Kai Parker said that he had to do the worst thing he's ever had to do for a job on last week's episode. He even texted the creator, Julie Plec, afterwards saying, quote, "This is hands down the worst thing I've had to do for any job ever." Well, it has been confirmed that he did indeed mean getting inside the Malvern pit. So for all of you who predicted that, you were right. He said, quote, "It was pretty disgusting. It's cold and you're weirdly buoyant in it. I think it's made of vegetable products, ? Either way, it gets into places that were very difficult to get out of." And they said,
TMI, Chris Wood.
And they said, "It's never happened before, but it actually dyed my skin green. It took 2 hours to get that stuff out."
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. So,
yeah. So I thought that was really interesting and wanted to share.
That is interesting.
Yep. And then next up, Dark Josie. So in an interview, the actress who plays Josie, Kaylee Bryant, talked about her experience being Dark Josie.
Oh, cool.
She told TV Line that, quote, "I'd been talking about Dark Josie with legacy executive producers Julie Plec and Brett Matthews since I got cast in the role." So that's really early on, considering how naive and stuff she was in the beginning. Then referring to the time Josie set Penelope on fire, she said, "Clearly there was something in this girl that was really dark. I kind of had this image of what Josie going dark would mean to me, and that mixed in with hair and makeup and wardrobe, plus Julie's input culminated into this gothic Catherine Pierce schoolgirl look. It's been a very interesting ride. As much as Josie's going on a journey, Dark Josie is also going on a journey."
Cool.
So she revealed that Legacy's hairstylist was given a picture of Nina Dobrev's legendary character as Catherine from TVD, as a reference for Dark Josie's new black do. And she went on, Kaylee Bryant went on to say how she always admired the darker characters, such as Caroline when she lost her humanity, or Kai Parker.
Interesting.
Yeah, so she was very excited to finally, like, be the monster of the week.
Wow, so Kaylee Bryant, most people want to be the hero of the show. Kaylee Bryant wants to be the dark one. That's pretty cool.
And also she's the one who said, "I want Kai Parker on the show."
Yep.
She wanted to be dark.
That's a really cool angle, because I will say that I did not watch Vampire Diaries admiring the darkness. So
me
that's
neither.
Really cool.
Yeah, me neither.
Let us know out there. Are you more of a Kaylee Bryant type and you admire the darkness? Or are you like me in Chick Show, where you kind of liked the good in people? Not just people. I mean, just the show. Anyway, so, all right, let's talk about our predictions. Because like we said, March 12th, you guys. March 12th
March
is when we're coming back. I don't like that at all.
That's four weeks.
Yeah, basically.
Ugh.
Three Thursdays, people, without us. I'm going to miss y'all. Anyways, okay, prediction time. So lay it on me, the one you've been wanting to say the whole episode.
What? Now I'm not sure what you mean.
Josie and Jade.
Oh, Josie and Jade, yes. Well, I definitely think that's happening. And I really like it, honestly, because Josie helped bring Jade back from the dark side.
Yep.
And I feel like they could be a good balance for each other.
Yeah, potentially,
maybe.
Absolutely. Because I feel like we still don't know enough about Jade, but from what we can tell, that with her good side is that she is good and pure, and she's coming back to the real world with the right intentions. Mm-hmm. And just that look that she gave Josie was like, is this a breadcrumb writers? Because I'm feeling like it is.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge JC fan all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So, and then Sebastian is definitely not dead.
I think one of my predictions for sure is Sebastian's coming back. That's not the last we've seen of him. I think he's going to get his redemption, and I think him and Lizzie are going to be able to move past their moment from last week for sure. I think Lizzie will have huge walls up, but ultimately, like, she just has a sweetness and a soft spot for him, so I think they're gonna be a thing. And I do like them together. I honestly do. I like their TV time together. I just like the two of them. I think they're really funny together.
They work well together.
Agreed. And then my other prediction is, I just lost it.
Well, what do you think next episode is going to be about? Because we saw it's like an old-timey episode, but what do you think they're going to be fighting against?
Who knows?
You know?
Something
and
with
the necromancer.
Yeah, like something the necromancer is doing for sure.
Yeah.
That's what do we have any predictions in the chat?
I'm trying to read through all this. There's so much.
I think I'll say this. Oh, I remembered my prediction. I think that over the course of the next couple episodes, we're really going to take a deep dive into Landon and how he's going to start figuring out his powers and his strengths. And I think we're going to see a looser side of Hope in regards to Landon. I think she's going to kind of loosen her little chokehold on him and start to, like, let him figure himself out.
Yes. Okay, so we have Carlos Hernandez saying, I feel the necromancer will regret Dark Josie. He seems to think it's to his benefit.
Yeah.
Jesus Days said Kai should have had a final moments of victory before his death. I agree. and Forever Mambaverse24 said MG will get love. I hope
okay,
you're right.
We're hoping. We're still here hoping for that.
And Ivan Soto is saying Thomas Doherty is not a series regular. So that's
okay.
Sad.
Well, I thought I read that he was.
Yeah. All right. Oh, and Charmed Original said Jade will be very hands-on with saving Josie from Dark Josie. I agree.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for those predictions, everybody. Well, with that, I guess all that's left to do is sign off for the next 3 Thursdays.
Oh, my
Won't
God.
See you again until March 12th. Take it away, Shiksha.
I'm going to miss you guys so much. make sure to find me on Instagram at IamBollyGirl. I'm always posting about what after shows I'm on and all kinds of Bollywood news in my Insta stories. So come check that out since I'm not going to see you for a month.
Yeah, this is going to be weird. This is my favorite day of the week.
Me
and
too.
You can find me. I am Haley Graves. You can find me on Twitter at Haley1, like the number one, Graves2. And you can find me on Instagram at Haley Graves with 2 S's. We're both on other after shows. So make sure you come and find us, talk to us, keep us in the loop with anything you hear about Legacies. We appreciate it, you guys, and we will see you on March 12th.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.